Rita Perry and Emma Pender are two women who, between them, worked in the chicken processing industry for close to 30 years. Along the way, they have gathered up their share of stories about how the company keeps the line running at all costs.
One man was cutting the chickens. They pulled him down. He cut his finger off, and it ran down the drain, and they had to try to catch it so they could get his finger out.
And reattach it? I guess. Did they get the finger?
Yeah, they did. Because, see, the drain was like maybe about two feet wide, mm-hmm. and the water was just continually running because they had to run water all night long under you washing the floor down. You had to make sure that the meat was off of the floor. Then when he had cut his finger, it just went down in the drain, and they had to try to help and catch it.
When this fellow lost his finger on the cutting machine, did they stop the line then?
No. No, they did not. I believe that probably if I had rolled down that dead, they probably wouldn't have stopped it then.
Long enough to get you out of the way and start back up.
There's been a lot of criticism aimed at the chicken processing industry in recent years, mainly about poor working conditions there. But the fact remains that chicken plants in places like rural North Carolina provide a lot of jobs for people who need work. So the question is, just how hard is that work? And what really happens when they push the line too hard? I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Story.
The Story is produced by North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. It's co-produced and distributed by American Public Media.
A few years ago, women in Lewiston, North Carolina, were getting worried about the health of people who were working on the line at the Purdue chicken processing plant. What was happening to them, the people who day after day did the killing and the cutting and the sorting and the packaging of chicken. So the women went to Duke University's Medical Center for help. People there agreed to do a study, and Hester Lipscomb wound up as the senior author.
They had concerns primarily about their upper extremities, their hands, their arms, their shoulders, but they also were concerned about what working in the plant did to their quality of life. And we didn't feel like we could do the study if we tried to partner with the industry. So we intentionally designed the study to be community-based. We'd recruit women through the community by other women who lived in the area.
Two of the women who were chosen to conduct the interviews were former employees of the Purdue plant. Emma Pender worked at Purdue for nearly 24 years. Rita Perry worked there for 4 years. Neither Rita nor Emma have worked there for 10 years or longer, so they were surprised to hear how little had changed. And they used the language of the worker to describe it, not the language of the academic.
The fact that they're still going through the same when I was there, we felt a lot of them was so depressed. You know, that really bothered me a lot.
And women would say they were tears in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the girls told me, she said they treat us just like we are dogs. She said we are standing on the line and they're standing there like they got guns making us work.
Emma Pender started at Purdue in the 1970s, and she says her job was easy to begin with. When she first started, much of the work that's now done by machine was done by hand.
They were hanging on a line.
The chickens were coming by hanging up,
coming on the line, going down.
Yeah.
So we had to put a tag in, and then somebody down there would take it off the line. These girls here would grade them. These girls here would tag them, and then down here would take them and put them in a box. That's when I first started doing that. And then when I moved to Rawsonville, they was on the belt.
And that, says Emma, is the key to understanding the life of a worker at a modern chicken plant, how the employees interact with the machinery. For example, both Rita and Emma worked on the line. You'll hear them both talk about how fast the line moves and how hard it is for the workers to keep up. Emma spent much of her time in the cut-up department, judging the quality of the chicken meat.
We were working in the cut-up department. We deal with just the legs, the wings, and the breast part.
Okay, so you're at a conveyor belt, right?
Yeah.
And the birds are coming by you.
Mm-hmm.
They're dead at this point?
Yes.
Are they all...
They're cut up, too.
They're all cut up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just chilled pieces of chicken coming
mm-hmm.
your way, right?
Mm-hmm. My job was to grade them, get the defects out, and put Purdue tag on the A grade. They had three grades, the A grade, the B grade, and the S grade. So they would go in a box separately from the A grade.
It sounds pretty basic. Sounds pretty easy if all you have to do is stand there and grab a piece of chicken and throw it somewhere. What makes it difficult?
When the line going fast, you got to put a tag in that line. So your responsibility is to get them bad ones off the line for to get to the next person.
How fast is that line moving?
Sometimes too fast. And you got to hold them tags in your hand and you had to tag that leg. Then you got to reach and get some more tag and when still the line still going.
Do they have any kind of a quota for you? Do they say that they want you to put on this number of tags in 1 minute or anything like that?
Yeah, 25 legs a minute.
25 legs a minute. Uh-huh. So you have like 2 seconds for each leg, right? Mm-hmm.
And then on the breast side, they had to take 15 a minute.
And your shift on that line would go how long?
It all depends on how many chicken you have that day. 7.5 hours, sometimes 8 hours, sometimes more than that.
Sometimes more than 8 hours in mm-hmm. a given day? Mm-hmm. Just because there'd be more
because
chickens
more
on that?
Chicken, uh-huh.
Rita, what was your job on the line?
Well, when I first started out, I was a styler. A styler was a person that had to make sure when the birds was coming down on the assembly line, the belt, to make sure that all the parts was within the chicken. And most time I had to use my hands to put the meat back in the tray because the girls were packing. It was like 32 birds per minute. It was coming down, and they were throwing the trays so fast, and the line was moving so fast, you had to make sure that you caught all the meat to make sure there was none hanging out of the tray, because from where it left for me, it went to the wrappers.
The chicken that's coming towards you, is it all cut up and ready to be packaged for
right,
someone like
because,
me to buy?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I had to put on the inserts. The inserts was the parts that labeled the chickens, like the thighs, the legs, the wings, and et cetera. So I had to hold 5 labels in my fingers as the belt ran down, and sometimes it would go so fast that the line would start backing up, and when it did, the trays would start buckling up and coming back at us, and you had to try to catch those and pull them off. But you know, we always had to work fast. So that was one of the things, was that you just had to move fast. At 32 birds per minute.
32 birds a minute.
Yeah, and you got trays coming bumper to bumper, and usually the belts are going so fast it's hard sometimes to keep up, because I had 5 labels in my fingers: wings, the breast, thighs,
the legs,
and what was the other one? Sometimes you do the leg quarters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to hold all those between my fingers and study do this. And if you got rubber gloves on, think, how can you catch like that?
I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Story. Rita Perry and Emma Pender, between them, worked at the Purdue Chicken Processing Plant in the 1970s, in the 80s, and the 90s. Rita Perry says the aprons and the gloves and the other gear made it hard for her to get free time, even when she had it given to her.
And they did give us like a 15-minute break. Within every 3 or 4 hours, you would get a 15-minute break. And by the time, because you had to wear your gloves, you had to wear your aprons. And, you know, I worked where it was cold. It was very, very cold. So
How cold was it?
Huh? We was right close to the 28-degree room. Mm-hmm. So you could just stand there and blow smoke out of your mouth all night, because I worked on a night shift. And yeah, I don't know what the temperature is at, but that's just how cold it was. When I took my break, it took over half of my break to take off my clothing, because I would have to take off my gloves, because I had to wear the cotton gloves and the rubber gloves. Then I had to take off my apron. Then I had to take off my coat. Then I had to take off my sweater, because I had to dress down, because it was just like being in the North Pole. So by the time I got all them items off, I had to go just back, run to the bathroom, and then head back on the line, because they would write you up if you didn't get back on the line within that 15 minutes. So
they would write you up. What does that mean?
You had so many times that you'd be demerit for being late.
And what would they do? Take away your pay or threaten to fire you? What did it all mean?
Well, you could get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. They wouldn't take away your pay, just take away permanently.
Both Rita Perry and Emma Pender were small human cogs in a very large machine. These days, as many as 2,500 people work at the Purdue plant in Lewiston, North Carolina. I asked Rita and Emma to trace out the different lines at the plant.
First, it started with, let me see, receiving. Mm-hmm. Live, I want to hang them up live.
Right.
Then eviscerating when they kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Then packing.
That's cutting and packing?
No, just whole birds.
Oh, packing the whole birds. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then cut up.
Right.
Then have deboning.
Deboning.
Right. Deboning. Mm-hmm.
So hundreds of people on each shift,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Did you get a chance to talk to other people while you're there, or can you hear over the sound?
You had a holler.
You did?
Right. Because you wore your earmuffs, because it was so loud, the noise from the machines and stuff. So you would have to holler at the next person. I like to laugh and joke, and so I found myself talking with other girls and teasing them, and you know, that would, and sometimes we'd be throwing the things off on the wrong tray, and the girls would holler back there from way price and label, that's what we called it, that y'all better look at your labels, what you're doing out there. So you got to do things to keep your mind preoccupied, and you just study go, you know. My shift started from 12 o'clock and I got off at 9 o'clock in the morning, but if it was a holiday, then I would get off whenever. That means that I would have to stay there until the last bird was processed, because day shift was not coming in.
And you had no idea then when you'd be going home. You might put in a 12-hour shift?
I remember working on one Thanksgiving day, getting off at 3 o'clock.
In the afternoon?
In the afternoon.
A 15-hour shift.
Right. That's right. I had to stay there until every bird was processed.
Did they pay you a lot of money for doing that extra work on the holiday?
No, you just got your overtime.
Time and a half on $6.
That's it. Yeah. But, you know, back there, it looked like it was good money. Mm-hmm. You know, versus you worked in the fields for $1.75.
Hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, your first job, too.
Mm-hmm.
Emma, for you, what was the hardest thing about working in the chicken plant? When you think back to it?
The hardest thing, I was promoted to a supervisor.
Line supervisor, uh-huh. Right.
And that was the hard thing for me because they put all the responsibility on my shoulder.
They pay you a lot more money?
About 25 cents more.
Well, why did you take the job?
I asked myself that today. Why did I do that? Because I didn't want it. But my former that I had at that time kept coercing me to get it. You know, do it. Get it. You can do it. I had to be responsible for the line, the people on the line. If I didn't have enough people, the line still going to run just as fast as it would if I had everybody on the line. And to me, that was the hard thing that really got me down. I went home nights, I carried it with me. I went to bed, I carried it with me. I woke up, I still had it with me. And I went back to work and got me back in again.
How many years were you then a line supervisor?
I think about 10.
10 years. Mm-hmm. And did you do that until your very last day?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Both Emma Pender and Rita Perry worked on the line at a chicken processing plant. The one thing they'll admit is that while they didn't like the work, they did like the money. And it wasn't until they each developed their own physical ailments that they concluded, "You can't pay me enough to stay here." I'll talk with both of them about when they started work and the physical effects of that work in just a moment. I'm Dick Gordon from American Public Media. This is The Story. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Story. Emma Pender and Rita Perry both worked at Purdue chicken processing plants. Emma did it for most of her working life. Rita put in 4 years back in the 1980s. But they both went back to work as interviewers for a Duke University study of the physical effects of a life on the line at the chicken plant. The study concludes that the work is hard and the physical and emotional toll on the workers is dramatic. That was something both women say they have first-hand experience of. But at the same time, the jobs have always paid relatively well, and for people in rural North Carolina, that's pretty important. Emma remembers when she went looking for a job.
I had never had a job. You know, mostly I did was farm work, picking cotton, working in tobacco. And I was curious to know how that worked because I never had one. So when I went there that day, I wouldn't get a job because I didn't have no experience. And so the guy that hired me, he knew me, so he hired me. Then the guy that came, his boss came and said, "You shouldn't hire her because she don't have no experience." But lo and behold, I stayed there almost 23 years, you know.
I mean, back in 1976, what kind of a job was this? How well was it paying?
It wasn't paying as we was getting there. What is the minimum?
Minimum wage?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So do you remember the wage that you started at? But it was down there.
It was
there.
Minimum wage, though.
It wasn't one of these jobs that everybody was lining up for then because it paid so well.
Uh-uh.
It wasn't like that.
Uh-uh.
Uh-huh. What about you, Rita? What do you remember about why you wanted a job there in the first place?
Well, really wasn't many jobs. So I went to Purdue, put in an application, and they hired me. And I needed to work. So,
what were the other choices at the time?
We had like sewing factories, and I couldn't sew at that time. And basically, you know, they still were doing a lot of working on the farms and stuff. And I had worked pretty much on the farms all my life, and I really didn't want to go back to that. So I just started at Purdue.
When you were looking at Purdue, this would have been about 10, well, not quite 10 years later, maybe 8 years later. Were you going there for the money? I mean, was it a good paying job?
At that time, yes. Because it started out about $6 an hour.
You would have started at $6 an hour.
And so, you know, it paid good. And that was the only thing, really, because I think the minimum wages weren't no more than about $3 some cent. So they were a little bit higher than the minimum wages. And they looked good.
Did you have any idea what you were getting in for?
No.
Emma, you're shaking your head. No. If you had known what your job would be in there, would you not have gone to the plant?
Well, I think when I first started, and maybe about 2 months later, I was ready to leave. So I started looking for something else, but I just couldn't find another job. And I just didn't like it. But I stayed there until I found something else, because I had to have an income. But it was hard.
Basically, when I started, the job I had wasn't a hard job. If they threw a product off the line that had a bone in, I just cut it out and put it back on the line. So really, sometimes I didn't have anything to do until they gave me something to do.
So how long did that easy work last for you? I mean, if you were just doing the recutting of the bird, how long did that?
Maybe a couple years.
Couple of years, mm-hmm. And then they moved you into onto the.
Then I moved
lines.
Me on the line, grading legs, you know, the legs, and I was on line then, so I was constantly working then.
A working life on the line for Emma Pender and Rita Perry was hard. They describe a workplace that could be messy, greasy, physically strenuous, and occasionally dangerous.
I fell down stairs because my boot was greasy and I slipped.
Covered in chicken fat, your boot, yeah. And what happened?
I went to the hospital and they x-rayed it, so I wore one of these big things on my leg for a little while.
Like a brace or something?
Yeah. I was out of work, maybe a day or so without back work. It wasn't broken. And I could walk on it. If I didn't have a doctor no saying that I can't work, then I got to come back to work.
What about the other effects on your health from working there? Where do you feel it? Where does it wear you down?
Hands. I can't stand for my hands to get cold anymore.
Even now?
Right now. And you see how my fingers are separating?
You're holding up your hands.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Your little finger sticks out to one side, right?
It's like I'm deformed in that hand. And it hurts so bad that at nights if I'm laying in the bed and if it's cool in the room, I have to take my hands and put them underneath my pillow and get them warm because all the way up it starts aching. I believe that the arthritis is set in there, but my fingers feel like they're separating. You know, even though you got the gloves on, your hands are wet and it's cold back there. And that was all night. So I had to stay with my hands wet because it doesn't take much for to punch a hole into your rubber gloves. Because as soon as you touch the chicken got bones in them.
Couldn't you get another pair of rubber gloves?
Well, if I did, it wouldn't take you just as right. Because at that time, we had to pay for them.
So nothing was supplied.
Right. Chickens.
The chickens they brought. You brought all the rest. Emma, what about your own health effects?
I got bronchitis. I developed that when I was working there. And I got 15% carpal tunnel in both hands. That means I drop things easily.
Does that happen even now?
Mm-hmm. I just said I dropped a whole pitcher of iced tea on the floor this week. And I got these little things, the little knobs, someone, what do you call them? I don't know what you call them.
Little lumps on your wrist is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But do you know that this came from the chicken plant?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because I went to a doctor and that's what he told me.
Is there anything that they... people who ran the chicken plant could have done to make it easier on you guys? I mean, it had to be cold to keep the chickens cold.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do all that packing, so you had to have people on the line. Did they do anything wrong in the way they treated you?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, they could have turned the lines down some.
Thank you.
What do you mean, turn the lines down?
It was too fast because at that time when I was working, Frank Perdue was living, and he made continuous trips to the plant, and they would slow the plants down. Whenever visitors would come in, they would always turn the lines down.
Slow down the conveyor belts.
Slow them down. Mm-hmm. And they could have kept it that way the whole time. But the thing was, they were just looking at production. Mm-hmm. They just wanted you to get those birds out no matter what it took. I mean, sometimes, you know, you couldn't move. You just had to stand right there. If you needed a break, you couldn't get the break.
Well, what if you had to go to the bathroom?
Well, one girl just urinated on herself.
Because she couldn't get away from the line?
She couldn't go. I was standing right beside of her. The foreman came over there and asked her, and he was like, he was frowned up, and he said, why did you stand here and urinate on yourself? She said she kept asking for somebody to relieve her, and she had to go to the bathroom.
And you couldn't walk off the line, do they? What, fire you?
Yeah.
You couldn't just back away?
Mm-hmm. You couldn't walk off the line. You cannot walk off. You cannot leave your post. If that line still moving, chicken still come. You cannot leave your post.
You were a line supervisor for a long time, though, right? Couldn't you have slowed the line down?
Honey, I might be a supervisor, but I wasn't a foreman. I wasn't a pet superintendent.
That's right.
This was not your responsibility. Mm-mm, you couldn't slow the line. Mm-mm. Couldn't you just go over there and hit the button a couple of times and
slow
it down?
Yeah, I would hit the button, cut it down, and then in a few minutes, somebody would put you back up. They wanted to do more chicken. They started out doing this amount of chicken, and as years went on, they would do more
faster and more. Faster and faster. Mm-hmm.
And you were there, what, Rita, 4 years?
Right.
Did you see things get faster and faster even in that 4 years?
Yes. And, you know, like Emma said, you took your job home with you, because I would be laying in the bed, because I got home at around about 10, and because by the time I got off at 9 and got everything off. And
this is a morning shift? You're coming home at 9, 10 in the morning,
in
right?
In the morning. About,
and you're going to bed then.
Right. Yeah. And so I would get in and take my shower and jump in the bed, and I'd be laying there in the bed, and I'm steady putting inserts on. It goes line moving so fast, I fell out of the
hands,
bed.
Your hands?
Yeah, I fell out of the bed. I was trying to catch the chicken.
Are you serious? You're lying in bed and your hands
because you're taking a job home with you, and the line was moving so fast, and when I almost hit that floor, I knew that, hey.
You fell out of bed.
Yeah, because I was trying to catch the line. I was trying to catch the chickens. And you take it home with you. I mean, that was an everyday thing, you know, because the way the lines was moving so fast, you dreamed chickens, you ate chicken, you were chicken.
Is there any way for you guys to describe for me the difference between a fast moving line and just a regular line? I mean,
get it, girl. Get it.
A fast line is one where I'm about to break my neck trying to keep up. And a slow line is one where I can work. And, you know, I've learned.
At a comfortable speed.
Right. At a comfortable speed. I know that production means something too, but also quality, person health. If you're flying, you know, sometimes I'll put on like 4 and 5 inserts on one piece of chicken because I couldn't hardly, you know, catch them. And then, you know, you got the gloves on. You got to keep your hands warm. If the inspector came around, you know, they didn't want you really touching the chickens. You know, they thought more of the chickens than they did humans.
Mm-hmm. And on my line.
That's pretty cold.
That is cold. Well, on my line, we could see the chicken on the line way up there. You could see them. And when them chickens go around like this here.
Swinging on the line.
Swinging, they're waving at you. They are gone.
Yes.
So when you're watching the chickens on the overhead line, they're being hung at that point by their feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you can see them swinging, you know the line's,
you know, line's
moving
going
faster.
Too fast.
And when they get down to you.
And we had to scramble, honey.
Did you guys know when the USDA inspectors were coming to the plant?
Well, Purdue had some.
Had some.
But then there were some that came from other places, too. But you could tell when the line was running slow.
They knew. They knew.
Yeah.
The top hat knew when them people was coming there.
That's right.
Because everything had to be in tip-top shape.
Mm-hmm.
When they got coming, ooh, everything is nice and neat. Mm-hmm. And I looked and I shook, but I was shaking my head. I said, this ain't the way it is. The line was going at a reasonable speed. You didn't see nothing on the floor. And everybody was like they had time to do what they had to do. Mm-mm.
But that was just for show.
That for show, yes. And soon they went out that door, bam, back to the hustle and bustle.
You're listening to The Story. I'm Dick Gordon. Emma stayed on the line for close to 24 years. And as she told me earlier, she moved up to the position of line supervisor and didn't much like that. Rita says her experience with line supervisors made her wary of people like Emma.
And Emma and I kind of defer on this a little bit, as we always talk about it, when she became the line leaders. When I was working there, that most people that came off of the lines that was made line leaders and supervisors.
Like Emma.
Right. They treated you worse than it was someone to come off of the street.
That doesn't make sense.
Sure didn't. And they saw how hard it was because they came right off of the line.
How do you explain that?
Well, I look at it this way. Maybe you were treated so bad and you felt like, hey, now is my golden opportunity.
Turn,
I can do the same thing back to somebody else. But, you know, Emma and I would always talk about that. And like she said, a lot of times the foremen would be standing. They had a little room. They stayed nice and warm. They weren't out there in the cold all night, all day. They would be standing back in a room that maybe 12 by 12. And they'd be standing there looking at you working. And they was in there where it was nice and warm at. All the time they came out, if they saw that the line was backing up.
Is that true, Emma?
Oh, yeah. Or a breakdown. But see, we have different opinion back there because I didn't do that. When the line backed up, I got there and helped them out. When they wouldn't go to the bathroom, I got them to go to the bathroom. Because I knew how hard it was. I knew how hard it was when on that line working like that. You might have told me a lie and say, I got to go to the bathroom. You might have had to go to the bathroom, but I don't know that. I don't know where you got to go to the bathroom. But if you call me and tell me I got to go to the bathroom, then I'll let you go.
You sort of have to, don't you?
Yeah, I have to.
I mean, unless I'm going every 10 minutes, but...
Mm-hmm. I have to. And they even told me, my form said, well, you could document every time she go to the bathroom. Document?
And you document it. I got mm-hmm. better things to do. Mm-hmm. Both Rita Perry and Emma Pender were telling me that they have lasting health effects from their time in the chicken processing plant. Emma says not much happened when she tried to approach the doctors and nurses that are hired by Purdue, especially when she went in to complain about the pain she was experiencing in her hands.
They would give you a vitamin pack.
What's a vitamin pack? Something you put on your hand?
No, it's about 4 or 5 pills.
Oh, something to take. Okay.
A Tylenol, B2, B12, something like that in a pack. You take that, and then they had me doing some exercising. I was on the wall doing something on the wall, just doing some
hand
basic
exercises, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Did it help?
No.
Did you tell them that it wasn't helping?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened then?
Well, come back again and give you the same, be whatever. And then they had a handout there too, which, you know, he was under Purdue payment, so you know he's going to do what Purdue guideline. He's not going to say, well, she need to do a lesser scrappiest job, but.
And go back to work. He wouldn't let you.
Go back to work. Because the doctor was right there at work. So we go to the doctor and go right back out down the line, go back to work.
What happened when you would go to the nurse, Rita? Did you ever do that? Did you ever go to the nurse?
Most of that stuff were with colds because it was so cold back then and it messed my sinuses up because I guess maybe being so tall, the air was blowing right down on my head. But even though I wore a cap all the time and I stayed full of cold, the other parts, I just took Tylenol, like my hands, like Emma said. And after I stopped working on my little finger, I had developed knots on them. And after I quit.
Under the skin or on the skin?
It was under the skin, but you could see it raising out. And so after I had stopped, that went away. And also, I guess wearing the boots and standing on the wet floor, I used to have pain that would shoot from my big toe all the way to my heels every day. And after I stopped working, it has went away for that. Yeah.
But when you were there, did you go and say, I have these problems?
No.
Because you can't really blame Purdue for treating you badly if you never told them what the problem was, right?
Yeah. Well, really, I heard other girls and stuff that worked beside of me. They complained, too, but they didn't do nothing about it.
They
and
just
so,
got the vitamins, the same
right,
thing
well,
Emma was talking mm-hmm. about?
What Emma got was vitamins. They just gave Tylenol. You know, I might have got a Tylenol or something, but other than that, you know, they didn't give anything else. So they didn't care. I mean, they were getting what they wanted, so it didn't make any difference.
I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Story. Both women say that at the time they worked at the chicken plant, back in the 80s and the 90s, they both believed that bringing in a union might help them.
We tried our best to get union mm-hmm. there several times, but the people were so scared.
That's right.
They would not sign up for that union.
That's
they
right.
would not even take the flyer that they handed out to us on the street. They would not even take them because they were threatened. If you take that flyer, if you get a union, they're going to close the plant down. You're going to get fired.
That's what the people were told.
That's what they was told.
That's right.
And you working and you needed that paycheck to pay your mm-hmm. house note, your whatever. You needed to work.
That's right.
And a lot of people that work at Purdue need to work.
So it's pretty easy to scare them by saying,
yes.
You touch that union flyer and you're gone.
Yes.
Do you remember it, really?
Yeah. See, and a lot of people that, when I was working, were a lot of older people, too. And some, that was the only job that they had because they came right out of the fields. Right into the plant, and they were paid good. And so, you know, the foremans and all was letting people know if you joined this union, that the union would come in, and if the union came in, that you would lose your job. Mm-hmm. So, and the people became afraid, and nobody wanted to vote for a union. But see, I had already knew about a union because my husband was in the union at the shipyard, so I knew what it would do. But, I would try to talk to some, but everybody had it set in their mind that, you know, we didn't want the union to come in.
Did you ever sign a card yourself?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you? You signed one too, Emma?
Yeah.
Did you get in trouble for that?
No.
No. No.
Well, what's that old saying? Some people want to stay in a box because they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it happened, you know. But if you got to think about it, I guess in a way is that if you know, just like Emma said, that even though I may have signed the card, they may say, well, Rita got by. I may not get by. And I've got 6 children I've got to feed.
Yeah.
I've got a car payment that got to be made. I got a house mortgage that's got to be paid. You know, she might not have lost her job. She can do what she want to do. And that was the mentality,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, you know, if Emma was married and she had her husband, she had something to fall back on, where the next person may not have anything to fall back on if they did lose their job.
Yeah, that's true.
Emma Pender worked almost 24 years at Purdue. She was fired for not checking someone's time card properly. Rita Perry just quit. We'll talk about their departures and about their role in examining the industry as part of a university study in just a moment. I'm Dick Gordon from American Public Media. This is The Story. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Story. Rita Perry and Emma Pender have both worked at Purdue chicken processing plants. They both say that their pay at the time was good, particularly for rural North Carolina. That's why they say it's one of the biggest employers around.
Well, my brother worked there for about 6 days, 5 or 6 days.
What happened to him?
He quit. He said that the first night he worked, he had to go to the bathroom. They would not let him go to the bathroom. So finally he went, and then the next night he went back, he said that he asked them to go to the restroom again. And the girl told him, said, well, you just can't be going to the restroom, to the bathroom. And he said, well, you need to tell my kidneys that. And so he went on back the next night, and when he said he was, because he worked cutting, I think he had to use the scissors to cut the wings. And he said when he went to bear down, because they wouldn't have sharpen the scissors and stuff, because we had the little thing that was
the sharpening thing.
Yeah, yeah. Sharpening rod to sharpen the scissors and stuff with. And he said when he went to bear down on the scissors, his fingers locked. And he said he had to take his hand and try to pull them loose one by one. And he said, and he stepped down, took his apron off, took his gloves off, and took the knife, took the scissors, and walked over there to the supervisor and told him what to do with him. And he quit and joined the service.
6 days he lasted. Do you ever tease him about that? That you lasted 4 years and he lasted 6 days?
We laugh about it a lot. And then he started working at another plant that was close by. They didn't pay that good, so eventually he just, moved on. He went into service.
Yeah. I had two sisters that worked there. But you got to realize, we don't, in our area, rural area, is nothing else left but Purdue.
Did you start before them? Did you start at the chicken plant before
that? Yes, I did.
And so when they said that they were thinking about applying for a
job.
But
see, it wasn't that bad then. See, like I told you, when I first started, my job wasn't that hard. It wasn't that hard.
So in the time that you were there, Emma, it got worse.
It got worse.
Because they wanted to move more and more chickens
through? More and more chicken, yes.
Huh.
Yes.
See, I would have thought that was worse at the beginning because workers had fewer rights back then.
No,
maybe
it was,
workers had more rights today than they did, but that's not the case.
It's not the case. I mean, it's not. It wasn't. I guess as time moved on, they moved too, and then with modernizing, when they put in machineries, first they started. You had to cut everything by hand.
So you started. The chickens were being cut by hand.
Uh-huh,
is that right?
Uh huh. And as they had put in machines, so as things got more modernized, they got more. I can do more chicken now. We got machines. But they failed to realize that machine wasn't doing all the work. We had people there too.
Well, I think in essence what they were trying to do in the beginning, when we didn't have the machines, the people were the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to work just like a machine. And, I've talked with several girls, and they have said the same thing. They think that we are robots. That you just got to continue move. And that's what had happened. And people were beginning to suffer out of that with their hands, their feet, their legs. And they didn't care. It was just production. That's all they worried about.
Tell me something, though, Rita. Do you really think it's a whole lot different from any other job that's manual labor? Like, whether you're, you know, picking tobacco or whether you're working on a car line at a plant, is it really any different than that?
Yes. I worked in the fields pretty much of my life, and I've never seen anything like Purdue, because at least in the fields, and I've even worked in 100-degree temperatures versus you where you near a 28-degree room, I could get a break if I wanted to go to the bathroom. You know, we had people out that was standing supervisors over you and stuff, but, you know, you could get a break in, and then you didn't have to work. If, you know, I like doing tobacco, and, you know, tobacco, you had to move swift, quickly.
Work.
Yeah, but it wasn't really that hard. Mm-mm. It wasn't that hard. And two, you were treated like you were human, you know?
And when you left the chicken plant and went to work in the textile mill and the sewing factory,
mm-hmm.
were the working conditions a lot better then?
A lot better. I started out at the sewing factory wherein I was getting maybe $4 an hour or $5 an hour. I ended up, when I left, I was making $10 an hour because I could work at my own pace, my own speed, and I didn't have someone standing over me telling me continuously, work.
Purdue disagrees with this assessment. A statement from the company says they've made extensive changes to improve the workplace and great progress in addressing ergonomic issues. Both Rita Perry and Emma Pender remember the end of their time at the chicken processing plant. Rita says initially it was a hard decision.
I needed the money, you know, and they had insurance, so I had to stay
there.
Yeah,
insurance.
So, yes. You know, I didn't want another job in Purdue. I just wanted to leave. And when I got my chance, I did.
What was your chance?
I went to a sewing factory and made less
money. But you said you couldn't sew.
I didn't. I couldn't, but I learned.
So you could get out of the
chicken
plant?
So I could leave Purdue. I had never sewn a day in my life, but I left. And when I left Purdue, that was exactly the next job that I went to was at a sewing factory, and I was getting paid less money. But I learned how to sew good, and I made more money.
Do you remember your last day on the job?
When I went out that night, I just didn't go back. And I didn't call them.
Just left, didn't call?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Farewell?
No.
Piece of cake? Nothing
no.
like that? Just
no. No, nothing. I just left.
Now, Emma, you worked how many years there?
Almost 24.
Why did you leave?
Well, I had a foreman, but he stayed in the office more than he did on the line. Everything was my responsibility. At the time when I was foreman, I was on the breast side, where I just deal with breast and wing. And if they come out and tell me, I need 1,000 boxes of breasts today, I don't care how you get them, I'll need them breasts. That weekend, we did tackle. On Friday, everybody rushing to go. So he was supposed to come in Monday morning, check those time cards before they go in the payroll.
Right.
And so that Monday morning, somehow or another, it was two mistakes made on the cars. And they called me and asked me, why did I put this girl down for this much time? She didn't make this much time. I said, well, he was supposed to check the car. My phone was supposed to check the time card. So he did not stand up for me. He did not say, well, I told him to do him, or it's my fault, I should have checked him. He said it was my fault. So they sent me home for 3 days.
They suspended you for 3 days because you didn't check a time card.
So I made a mistake on time card. I gave the girl too much time. And so when I came back, even though I've been there all the many years, I never had no trouble, worked faithfully, when I came back, they said, well, I think we're going to let you go.
They fired you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you have other things on your record?
No. No. Didn't miss no time out of work unless I was sick.
No insubordination?
No.
No going off to the nurse too often? No. No taking too many bathroom breaks? No backing into the company president's car in the parking lot? None of this?
No. And it hurt it because I said, now, I don't gave them all the many years. So here now with my hand hurt, got bronchitis, got blood pressure problem, and now they said, well, we're going to let you go.
Did they give you any severance, any money when they laid you off?
Any money?
They didn't say, you've been here for 24 years, you've been a good employee,
no.
So we're going to get...
My last day was in October 99. I was supposed to get a 4-week vacation.
Paid vacation.
The next month.
Yeah.
They took that.
All of it?
All of it. That they didn't get my 4 week vacation. Because you would have to work. If I started in November, the 12th of November, let's say the 12th of November,
yeah.
I would have to work to the 12th of November in order to get any vacation. So I had worked all year until I got almost to my vacation, and they took them. I don't think they gave me more my little week pay. I'm working for that week. No.
Well, you must have been angry.
Ooh, I almost had a wreck going home.
Driving a little fast, were you?
No, not concentrating on what I was doing. Not aware of what I was doing. I was so shocked by the fact that they had did it to me. To almost run into a man standing to hold a stop sign.
And you never went back?
Mm-mm. Nope.
I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Story. About 10 years after Emma Pender left, Duke University came calling and said they needed former chicken plant workers to help with a study. Rita Perry and Emma Pender were asked to be interviewers and to persuade current chicken plant workers to take a health exam and talk about their experiences.
We started out first thinking maybe if you tell them about it, they would come. But they, like it was with the union, they thought that we had come to shut the plant
down.
So then it had to be like first aunt, you tell that aunt, and then they go get another little one and come on, you know, like a little trail. The first person had to realize that we're not going to close the plant down. We didn't come to harm you. So then they go back and tell the next person.
What did you tell them, though, in order to make them come talk to
you?
What did you say?
That we were doing a study, you know, women looking at problem with their hands and their shoulders and stuff like that. And I said it has nothing to do with taking your job away from it. And a lot of the old ones were afraid. The older ones were afraid.
Do you know if anyone inside Purdue was saying, don't talk to these women? They're just
trouble? Yeah, because they came back and told us, yes.
Were they being threatened or just being told not to have anything to do with you?
Well, they just said that, you know, you could lose your job.
I guess they were looking out for somebody else. They were looking out for one another and thought they were going to lose the job.
Yeah. Right. And so after, you know, we had a few people to come in, I think the fear went away because the biggest thing was fear. You know, they did, we had a nurse that did a physical exam to their hands and back. But we did a questionnaire, just asking questions about their hands and certain things that they did within the plant.
What surprised you about what the women told you?
The fact that they still going through the same when I was there. And we found a lot of them was so depressed. You know, that really bothered me a lot. I mean, young people, depressed. A lot of times we were doing an interview, you know, we got a certain length of time to do it in. And sometimes they get to talking, you know, you had to sort of like pause and let them talk a little bit. And that, like, it gave them pleasure just to sit down and that somebody would listen to them.
Sometimes they would talk and you had to just stop and just, you know, let them talk.
You're putting out your problem to somebody. Somebody just listen at what you're saying.
And I, you know, women would say they were tears in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the girls told me, she said they treat us just like we are dogs. She said we are standing on the line and they're standing there like they got guns making us work. So I said, well, you know, that ain't changed. But you would think that over the years and with more equipment that things would have gotten better. And one of the girls had fell. She said that she saw the women and the supervisor. When she fell and hit her head. And she said the supervisor and them were standing there laughing. So it hasn't changed much from that.
Did you guys ever feel like you were in risk at all by doing these studies?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. No.
You'd already seen Purdue on the inside, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I always got run off from Purdue. Well, I did get run off Purdue because we were going to do some flyers, and we had called a guy over to the car, and he going to go get everybody in the plant just about right there and bring them over to the car. So the foreman came out and said, you know, y'all got
the guard.
The guard. He came out and said, y'all got to leave. And I was telling him about it. I said, you later had to came and got us out of jail. So then we just stayed like on the outside and did it. But I think Purdue has gotten more strict. They have put up gates and stuff, so you just can't walk up there like you used to. Because you used to could pull up in the parking lot. Now you can't.
When the Duke study was released, it was highly critical of the working conditions at Purdue's chicken processing plant. However, the corporate people at Purdue issued a news release saying that their perspective is completely at odds with the study. The news release says that Purdue is a pioneer in employee health and safety, that high-stress line jobs have all been automated, and that employees are encouraged to report any job-related discomforts. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Story. Rita Perry says people are still drawn to that plant. She says her own daughter's thinking about a summer job in the chicken plant because it's still such good money.
She is in college now, and she's tried to look for several jobs, and she can't find anything. Well, with the gas being like it is now, McDonald's and Burger King, we got so many kids already working. They work them only 1 or 2 days a week. So she had asked me about going to Purdue. You know, I explained to her what it was like, and I told her, I said, well, Desiree, it's hard, and it's really hard. And, you know, I look at her not having to have worked as hard as I have worked. So how would she manage that? But she says she wants to go and try. And she talks about if she did get the job, I wouldn't want her to see that later on down the road. She'd be looking like this, you know. And like Emma says, that her hands, she can't hardly use them. Sometime I was reading an article in the paper where a lot of her classmates are working, and she said, Mama, they get paid good.
Did you try to talk Desiree out of going there?
Yeah, but she look at having money.
Rita, you could hold up your hands.
I know, and I show her my hands.
Your bent little finger, and she's seen you keep trying to keep your hands warm,
mm-hmm.
right?
But, you know, children now are just totally different. She see what she want, and she said, well, let me try it and see.
And this is for money to continue on in college, right?
Right.
Have you thought, Rita, about Desiree going to work at the chicken plant? I mean, have you thought about the day when she might say, bye, Mom, I'm off to the plant? What you'll be thinking?
Yeah, I can't stop. She's 20. She'll be 21 soon, and she wants to try it, and so...
Yeah, but
and
that
$12, no
what?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She see that. That
she
incentive, that money, not knowing what else it'll bring along with it. And, you know, she says, Mama, I'm tired of being broke.
$12 an hour now.
Yeah, they starting them out good. Mm-hmm.
Would you guys, either one of you,
for
women, go back at $12 an hour?
$12 an hour. Whew. I'd have had to do some praying and thinking. I'm going to be honest. I like to eat. And I like to buy things.
You're telling me you're tempted.
You're $12 an hour. But I will tell you this. I will preach it every day. I hate it.
You're saying you would go back.
And say it every day. I hate it.
Just walk in the door and say, I hate being here. But then you go and do the work.
I would. But if I could find something else that would pay me good, yes. I would take it before Purdue and the $12 an hour.
Would you go back, Emma?
No. I frankly tell you right now, no. No.
Why so certain?
Because I remember the days I was there.
Ooh.
And what I went through. No. I won't go back there.
Both Rita Perry and Emma Pender were once inside the plant as workers themselves, and they've talked to hundreds of more recent workers as a part of this university study. Rita's now thinking about the possibility of her own daughter working there and imagining that it really wouldn't take too much to make the place a more pleasant working environment.
The lines are still moving fast.
Too fast.
Too fast. That's the major thing, is the line is just moving too fast. And she's short. Make sure that she can work, not the job to fit her, she can fit the job. Because she's short, the belt shouldn't be up here. I was tall, and the belt was way down there. You know, put a person where they fit it at. Just don't stick them anywhere. And as far as the coldness, and I know they got to keep it cold in there because of the chickens, but then they should offer you something that should help keep you warm, because I bought my coats and stuff, because I would wear 2 pair of thermals, 2 coats, 2 sweaters. You know, I wouldn't want to see her to suffer like that for the rest of her life.
Emma, what about you? What do you think that they could change to make that place a better place to work?
Most people that work out there is African-American. And I feel like they just don't care.
Are you saying most of the managers are white?
Yes. The only thing that they are concerned about is that yellow Purdue bird going around in that package in the supermarket. They don't care about what you go through to get it there. They just want it there.
You had a chance to move up to management. Like, you took one step up while you were there.
Yeah, I thought I was going to make a difference, but I didn't make that much of a difference. Well, I think I did. I think I made a difference by the way I treated them people on the line that I was on. I sure do.
Emma Pender worked for close to 24 years in the Purdue chicken processing plant. Rita Perry was there for 4 years. They both worked on a recent study of musculoskeletal injuries of the hands and arms and neck, a study done by Duke University. On our website at thestory.org, we have a link to more information about that study, and we also have a link to the official Purdue response to that study. I'm also interested in knowing if you have a story to tell about your own work on the line, and I'm interested in hearing it from either side. If you've got something you want to talk about, go to our website at thestory.org, or you can leave me a telephone message on our phone line at 1-888-966-9862. That's 1-888-966-9862. And if you want to sit down and write me a letter, here's our mailing address. Write to me, care of The Story, 120 Friday Center Drive, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. The zip code is 27517. 27517. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Story.
This story is a production of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
American Public Media.